Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Mezuzah, Perek Hey. In this perek, the Rambam moves from the laws of tefillin to those of mezuzah. This perek deals with how a mezuzah is written and affixed to the doorpost, and the next perek will address exactly which doorposts require a mezuzah. We'll see in the first halachot of this perek several differences between the writing of a mezuzah and the writing of tefillin, which indicate that these two objects, despite their outward similarities, may have very different natures. Halacha Aleph. Ketzad kotvin et ha-mezuzah. Kotev shtei ha-parshiot, shma, v'hayayim shamoa, al daf echad, biriya achat, v'osela revach milamala, v'revach milamata, kmo chatzi tziporin. V'im ketava bishtayim b'shalosh dapin, kshera, uvelvad shelo yasena kezanav o kmo igul o kekuba. V'im asa kachad me'elu psula, ketava shelo ala seder, kigon shehikdim parasha l'parasha, psula. Ketava bishnei orot, afapi shetfaran, psula. Sefer Torah shebala utfilin shebalu ein osin mehen mezuzah velo min hagilayon shel sefer ein kotvin ala mezuzah lefi she'ein moridin miktusha chamura liktusha kala. A mezuzah consists of the paragraphs of Shema and V'hayayim Shamoa written in a single column on a single piece of parchment, though it is kosher even if written on two or three columns, with a narrow margin of half a fingernail above and below the text. The mezuzah is pasul if it is written on two pieces of parchment and sewn together, or if it is written such that the lines get longer from top to bottom, or shorter from top to bottom, or longer and then shorter so that the text resembles a circle. Later in Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes that the custom is to write the mezuzah in exactly 22 lines, the last of which is just the two words Al Ha'aretz at the end of Vayayim Shamoa, and he lists exactly which word should appear at the start of every line. Just as tefillin have lower kedusha than a sefer Torah, and tefillin shel yad have lower kedusha than tefillin shel rosh, as we saw in Perek Gimel, a mezuzah has lower kedusha than all of these, and therefore one may not take parshiot from a worn-out sefer Torah or tefillin, or even just blank parchment from a sefer Torah, and use them to make a mezuzah. Perhaps the most interesting line in this halacha is where the Rambam says that if the parshiot are written out of order, that is, v'hayayim shamoa before shema, then the mezuzah is psula. We saw in Perek Gimel that the order of the placement of the four parshiot of tefillin among the compartments of the Shel Rosh is ma'akev, but we noted that the Rambam omits any similar conclusion about the writing of the parshiot of the Shel Yad, and the parshiot of the Shel Yad can even be written on separate parchments altogether. The mezuzah seems at first glance to be similar to the tefillin shel yad, multiple parshiot written together and placed together in one location. But we see here a crucial difference. In the tefillin, there is no connection between the parshiot. Each is a replica of a parsha from a sefer Torah and stands on its own. But the mezuzah is a different entity. The parshiot of Shema and Vayayim Shamoa in a mezuzah aren't just copies of distinct parshiot from a sefer Torah. They fuse together to form something new, a mezuzah, in which the order between the two parshiot, Shema first, then Vayayim Shamoa, is critical. This understanding of mezuzah is buttressed by halachot bet and gimel. Halacha bet. Umitzvah lasot ha-revach shebein parshat shma v'vahayim shamoa, parsha stuma, v'masa ota ptucha, kshera, lefi she'na smucha lamina Torah, v'tzrich lizaher batagin sheba. The gap between the two parshiot of the mezuzah should be stuma, which recall that for the Rambam means that the second parsha should start in the middle of a line. But this is not absolutely necessary, says the Rambam, because the two parshiot are not adjacent in the Torah. One must be careful to write properly the tagim, the crowns of the letters, in a mezuzah, and the Rambam goes on in Halacha Gimel to list exactly where all the tagim must go in a mezuzah. He ends Halacha Gimel as follows. V'im lo asa tagin o shehosif behen o gara mehen, lo pasal. V'im ktava shelo besirtut o shelo dikdek b'malei v'chaser, o shehosif ba mibifnim afilu ot achat, harei zo psula. Incorrect or missing tagim don't invalidate the mezuzah, as was the case for tefillin. But if the mezuzah was written without proper malei and chaser, referring to the vavs and yuds, as we discussed in Perek Bet about tefillin, or without sirtut, the lines etched in the parchment to keep the writing straight, which we discussed in Perek Aleph, or even if one superfluous letter is added to the text, then the mezuzah is invalid. The Griz in his Chidushim on this Rambam points out two major differences in these halachot between mezuzah and tefillin. First, the Rambam in Perek Bet said that each parsha and tefillin must be written p'tucha or stuma as it appears in a Sefer Torah, and changing this disqualifies the tefillin. Here, the Rambam doesn't even mention writing either Parsha as Ptucha or Stuma. He only relates to the Revach, the gap between the Parshiot, which he says should be Stuma, but this isn't an absolute requirement. And it sounds like the first Parsha of Shema can be written any way at all. Secondly, the Tagim, which the Rambam lists in Halacha Gimel, are not the same as the Tagim he requires to be written on the same Parshiot in Tefillin, which he lists in Perek Bet, and specifies there that the Tagim are Kima Shein Ktuvin B'Sefer Torah. That is, the Tagim of Tefillin are the same as the Tagim on those Parshiot in a Sefer Torah, but the Tagim of Mezuzah are entirely different. Both of these differences, concludes the Griz, show that while the Parshiot of Tefillin are a carbon copy of the corresponding Parshiot from a Sefer Torah, the Mezuzah is a new and distinct entity. And I believe that the Rambam's emphasis on how the gap between the Parshiot should be written as a Parshas Tuma is another indication of the fusion between the Parshiot in a manner which does not exist in the case of Tefillin. What is the purpose of this new object called a mezuzah, and how exactly does it differ from Tefillin? This will become clearer as we learn the coming halachot. Halacha Dalet. Minhag pashut shekotvin ala mezuzah mibachutz keneged arevach shebein parsha ufarsha shakai. Vein bazeh hefsed, vishu mibachutz. Aval elu shekotvin ba bifnim, shemot malachim, o shemot kedoshim, o pasuk o chotamot, harehin bichlal mishe'ein lehen chelek lolam haba. She'elu ha-tipshim, lo dai lehem shebitlu ha-mitzvah, ela she'osin mitzvah gdola shi'yichud shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'avato ve'avodato, ki'ilu hi kameya lehanayat atzman, kemo she'ala alibam ha-sachal, sheze davar ha-mahane be'avlei ha-olam. The minhag is to write the divine name Shakai on the outside of the mezuzah, directly opposite the gap between the two paragraphs of the text. And there is no problem with this because it is on the outside. We said in the last halacha that even one extra letter on the inside of the cloth invalidates the mezuzah. But the Rambam continues to launch a tirade against another far more destructive custom. There are those who write on the inside of the mezuzah names of angels, psukim, and diagrams of various sorts. These fools, says the Rambam, have no share in Olam Haba, for not only have they invalidated this specific mezuzah by adding texts on the inside of the cloth, they have perverted the essence of the mitzvah of mezuzah as a whole. This mitzvah is supposed to be about the themes of Kriyat Shema, Yichud Hashem, Avat Hashem, and serving Hashem through mitzvot, but these people make it into some kind of amulet for their own personal benefit. These sharp words, very uncharacteristic of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, deserve closer scrutiny. What conception of mezuzah is he rejecting, and what does the Rambam see as the purpose of mezuzah? In his condemnation of the view of the mezuzah as a kameya, an amulet, he seems to be taking aim at the very widespread idea that the mezuzah provides protection for the house on which it is affixed. Indeed, the Rambam nowhere mentions anything about the mezuzah protecting the house, and one imagines that he would cringe at the suggestion, heard frequently even today, that one who has experienced misfortune should have his mezuzahs checked. But is this really just superstition, as the Rambam seems to think? The Gemara, in at least two places, suggests that the mezuzah protects the home. One is a well-known story in Masechet Avodah Zarah about the convert Unculus, author of the Aramaic translation of the Torah, and Roman soldiers who came to arrest him. The other is in Masechet Menachot, where Rav Huna explains that the mezuzah must be placed on the outer part of the doorpost, closer to the Reshut HaRabim, in order to protect the home against potential harm coming from the Reshut HaRabim. So why does the Rambam seem to reject this idea? The Kesef Mishnah here explains that the Rambam understands that a mezuzah which is affixed to a door in order to fulfill God's command indeed protects the home as a secondary result. But the intent when making a mezuzah should not at all be to protect the house, as it is for those who write names of angels and the like inside. And what does the Rambam think the purpose of a mezuzah really is? What he alludes to in this halacha, he says explicitly at the end of the next parak. The encounter with the mezuzah causes a person to remember Yichud Hashem and Avat Hashem, and awakens him from his spiritual slumber to remind him that the true essence of life is to serve Hashem. In other words, the purpose of the mezuzah relates to the content of the text of the two parshiot, the two paragraphs of Shema, containing Yichud Hashem and Avat Hashem, and V'hayim Shamoa, focusing on keeping a life of mitzvot, as if the person encountering the mezuzah is actually reading the text. This is a radical departure from Tefillin. Recall that the Rambam said in Perek Bet that tefillin never need to be checked once they are known to be kosher, because the boxes are closed and the parshiot are completely unexposed. And nowhere does the Rambam relate the importance of tefillin to the specific content of the parshiot of tefillin. Rav Soloveitchik distinguishes mezuzah from other forms of stam, in that Sefer Torah and tefillin are objects which, when made properly, have an elevated kedusha. We saw in the last parak what that means for tefillin, and parak Yud will deal with the special kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Nowhere in these two prakim about mezuzah does the Rambam speak at all about any special kedusha attributed to the mezuzah. Recall from the last parak, for instance, the halacha about not engaging in sexual activity in the presence of tefillin or a Sefer Torah. The Rambam mentions no such problem regarding mezuzah, even though every bedroom has one on its door. We'll get back to this question in the next parak. Recall that we mentioned in Perek Aleph that Rav Soloveitchik explains, based on this distinction between the higher Kedusha of Sefer Torah and Tefillin and the lesser Kedusha of Mezuzah, why the first two require Ibud Lishma while the Mezuzah does not. The Mezuzah is important because of its text, and it is not critical that the parchment on which the text is written be prepared Lishma. But for a Sefer Torah and Tefillin to have Kedusha as an object of Stam, even the parchment must be imbued with intent Lishma while it is being prepared. The mezuzah does not have special Kedusha beyond the lower level Kedusha of Kitvei HaKodesh, similar to that of, say, a Megillah written on a cloth. It is a very specific text taken from the Torah but written in a different form, as the Griz pointed out, meant to remind the person who sees it about the content of that text. Halacha Vav. Kishikoflin ota, golalin ota misof hashita litchilata, ad shetimatzei kishiyiftach hakorei likrot, yikra mirosh hashita lisofa, v'achar shegolala machnisa bishfoferet shel kaneh o shel eitz o shel kol davar, u'mechaber ota el mezuzat petach b'masmer, o chofer b'mezuzat petach u'machnis ba ha-mezuzah. The cloth of the mezuzah is rolled from the end to the beginning, so that one who opens it to read it can read the text from beginning to end. The Rambam quoted a similar din regarding the parshiot of tefillin, but note here the added words, kishiyiftach hakorei likrot, when the reader opens it to read it, which I believe suggests, again, that the significance of the mezuzah lies in its content. In practice, the mezuzah isn't read, but by reminding the person of its content, it is as if it is actually being read. The rolled-up cloth is placed in some kind of tube and nailed to the doorpost, or it is placed inside a hole dug into the doorpost. The Rambam doesn't address how exactly the mezuzah should be placed, and other Rishonim debate this point. The Shulchan Aruch rules that it should be standing vertically parallel to the doorpost, and the Rama favors the opinion that it must be horizontal, parallel to the ground with its top facing inwards. Sfaradim follow the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, and the custom among Ashkenazim is to try to fulfill both opinions by placing the mezuzah at a diagonal, with the top facing inwards. In Halacha Chet, the Rambam lists cases in which the placement of the mezuzah is invalid because it is not considered to be al mezuzot beitecha, on the doorpost, but rather adjacent to it or inside it. If he hangs the mezuzah on a beam adjacent to the doorpost rather than on the doorpost itself, if he attaches it to the wall behind the door rather than on the doorpost, and if he places the mezuzah in a hole in the doorpost such that it is neither horizontal nor vertical along the doorpost, but rather facing into the doorpost. And finally, if he places it at a depth of more than a tefach inside the doorpost. Halacha Zayin. The kodim sheikba'ena b'mezuzat ha-petach mevarech tchila baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kenushanu mezuzah v'sivanu likboa mezuzah ve'no mevarech b'shat ktivata shekviata hi ha-mitzvah. The bracha on mezuzah is asher kenushanu mezuzah v'sivanu likboa mezuzah and is made when attaching the mezuzah to the doorpost, not when writing it, as the mitzvah is the attaching, and the bracha on a mitzvah is always said at the time that the mitzvah is fulfilled. Note the way the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of mezuzah in his koter to these halachot, likboa mezuzah bepitchei hasha'arim. At the end of halacha chet, the Rambam has another interesting case where the mezuzah is pasul. Chatach kaneh v'ichnis bo mezuzah, v'achar kach chibera kaneh el kanim achirim v'hemir min hakol mezuzat ha-petach, psula mipnei shekadma kviat ha-mezuzah l'asiyat mezuzat ha-petach. If someone attaches a mezuzah to a beam, which isn't part of a doorway, and then builds that beam into a doorpost, the mezuzah is invalid and must be put on again. In other words, the doorpost must precede the placement of the mezuzah and not the other way around. This is an example of a psul we will see in other contexts, including tzitzit, which we'll learn very soon, and also sukkah, of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Sometimes halacha requires a pre-existing condition for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, and it is not possible to do the mitzvah first and fill in the condition afterwards. In this case, the mezuzah can only be placed on a pre-existing doorpost. Halacha tet. Mezuzat hayachid nivdeket pamayim bashavua, umezuzat rabim pamayim bayovel. Shema nikra'a mena ot o nimchaka, mipnei shikvua baktalim markevet. A mezuzah belonging to an individual must be checked twice every 7 years. Note that shavua does not have the modern meaning of week here, but rather the 7-year Shemitah cycle. And one belonging to the tzibur must only be checked twice every 50 years, so as not to excessively trouble the tzibur. The assumption of the Gemara is that an excessive burden on the tzibur will end up being entirely neglected, as everyone will shift the responsibility onto someone else. The reason a mezuzah needs to be checked at all, as opposed to tefillin, is that a mezuzah is exposed to the elements in a way that tefillin is not. The frequency of the checks depends on the specific circumstances. The Aruch HaShulchan reports that he would check his mezuzot even more frequently, as moisture and rot were very common in his time and place. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that nowadays, when mezuzot are wrapped well in plastic and are generally not subjected to extreme temperatures due to heating and air conditioning, the mezuzah has the same din as tefillin and need not be checked at all once it is known to be kosher. Obviously, much depends on the specific physical conditions prevailing in the spot where a given mezuzah is placed. Halacha Yud. Hakol chayvin b'mezuzah, v'afilu nashim v'abadim, u'mechanchin et haktanim lasot mezuzah lebateihem. Hasocher bayit b'chutz la'aretz, v'hadar b'fundak b'eretz Yisrael, patur min ha'mezuzah 30 yom. Aval hasocher bayit b'eretz Yisrael, chayav b'mezuzah miyad. Women are obligated in mezuzah, as this is not a mitzvah taseh shazman grama, and even the room or home of a child should have a mezuzah, based on the concept of chinuch. If someone rents a home in chutz la'aretz, then for the first 30 days, his dwelling is considered temporary, and he isn't obligated in mezuzah. But after 30 days, or even automatically, if he rents in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a desire on the part of Chazal to encourage yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we consider his dwelling permanent, and he is obligated to put up a mezuzah. The Aruch HaShulchan adds that even in Chutz La'aretz, if the rental agreement from the start was for more than 30 days, then he is obligated immediately to put up a mezuzah. Halacha Yud Aleph. Hamaskir bayit l'chaviro, ala socher la'avi mezuzah v'ligbo ota. Afilu haya noten sachar al kviyata, mipnei shamezuzah chovat hadar hi ve'ina chovat habayit. V'cheshu yotzei, lo yitlena biyado v'yetzei, v'maya bayit l'goy, harei ze notla k'sheyetzei. The mezuzah is chovat hadar, an obligation of the one living in the home, and not on the one who owns the home but doesn't live there. So the renter needs to provide the mezuzah in the home he is renting, and he has to pay for putting it up. When a renter leaves the home he is renting, he must leave up the mezuzot unless the next person to live there is a non-Jew. The Rama adds that he may ask the incoming resident, be it the owner or another renter, to pay for the mezuzot. But Achronim clarified that he cannot take down the mezuzot even if this person refuses to pay. Some allow the departing renter to take his mezuzot if he has no way to acquire new ones for the home he will be moving into. It is also permitted, if the renter had put up mezuzot, which are especially expensive and muhudarot, to remove these to take with him and put up simpler and less expensive mezuzot in their place for the incoming resident. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.